us here, and we're just going to kind of walk through this. If you've got your Bible, man, I hope you'll look at it on your tablet or your phone. If not, man, you can look on the screen. Let's read God's Word together. Would you stand as we pay honor to God and His Word? Verse 1, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be as it was in her first vexation when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. He's talking about the judgment on God's people here. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shine. What are you talking about here, Lord? What are you talking about? Isaiah 7, there is the promise that the virgin would bring forth the child. Isaiah 9, he is expanding on that, and he's saying, hey, there is hope. There is hope in the shadow of death. Verse 3, you have multiplied the nation, not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy and harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. He's prophesying a future coming time when they will be so happy. It's Christmas morning, the kids are dividing the loot. And the spoil there, it's a great happy time. Why is it a great happy time? Verse 4, you have broken the yoke of the burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of the oppressors in the day of Midian. And they're pointing to a historical battle where God delivered them. Verse 5, for every battle the warriors with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. I don't have the time this morning, verse 5, to unpack there, but this is in an uncertain time, in a time where there is battle and strife, there is hope, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. He is the king, by the way. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government, peace shall be no end. And upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. This is the child with four names. This is a child who is born the king. This is the child who will heal Israel and will heal the world. And he is the one who brings hope in darkness. And I want to talk about one of his names this morning. Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor. Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor. One more time, would you pray? Now, God, I pray that you would help us and speak to us. And I pray right now that you'd get all the credit, honor, and glory. Use me, I pray. Focus my thoughts, Lord. And I pray right now that you would work in our hearts, Lord. We need you and we love you this morning. Thank you for what you're wanting to do here. And I pray that you speak to us from front to back, left to right, those that are watching online. I pray, Lord, that you would get honor and credit. And I pray that you'd help us, convict us, and draw us to yourself. We love you and we thank you. We pray in your son's name. And amen. You can be seated. Be seated. I love this passage of Scripture. I love Isaiah chapter number 9. I love this child with the four names there. And if you've never looked at it, let me encourage you to do this. If you want a verse to memorize this month and to look at, verse 6 is a tremendous one. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder. This would so motivate this in a passage in Revelation that when Handel would be writing and doing what we would call the Messiah and a part of a larger work there, as he would be doing this, just so motivated. He went days without sleep and days without eating. He was just so consumed with the fact that God had said it, and God did it. And we take our cues here from this, and again from a passage in Revelation, as we talk about the hallelujah Messiah. And he is the one who would come, and the timpani begins to swell, and the drums, and we do that. And even in most of the English-speaking world, we stand when we get to that part out of reverence. Why? Because the Son was given, and the King has been born, and he has come to save us all from our sins. And man, there's so much more. And I just love this. I love it. I like all the trapping, but I love this. Why? Because this is who he is. And he's got a different title here, and that title, one of these ideas here that just is so amazing to me is this baby, not yet born, is already wearing, if you allow, four hats, four titles. Notice again there in your text, just look at it, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is no ordinary child. This is no simple baby. This is no ordinary birth. He would come to do what? To save us from our sins. And everything revolves around Him, revolves around this promised child. And so we pause and we take this first little bit here. Some of you are going, preacher, if you're going to preach all these and all these names here, I didn't even bring a lunch, much less a snack. And if you'll just allow, I want to focus on these. How many of you like me? I said it last night at the Christmas deal. How many of you like me? You need to slow down and be on purpose thinking about Christ and not just about all the other stuff. I mean, if you're not careful, you'll run right past it this year. And so I want to slow you down as we start off our season here this year. Look at it again. If you're taking some notes this morning, we start off looking at two things here. First off, we look at adoration. Look at it. He is the wonderful one. He is the one who promotes wonder, and He is the one who is deserving of all of our praise. He is the wonderful counselor, How many of you like a pat on the back or a good job? Or anybody in here, you like a thank you card? Anybody like that? How many of you prefer a text than a thank you card? Anybody here, you prefer digital? But if you get a card, does that mean something to you? How many of you like, I get a card or a call, right? Those are rare nowadays, isn't it? If you get a call, how many of you, if you get a phone call, it's almost always bad news. Anybody? Oh, no, why are they calling? Anybody like that? Anybody? Some of you are in business. You like phone calls because it means work. But rest of you, some of you like that. Man, we're here, and we like that. But the wonderful, to adore Christ, and I'm gonna back off that. I got so much I want to say here. I'm going too fast. Let me slow down. He is the wonderful one. No one and nothing is as wonderful as Jesus Christ is. He is the one who gives everything to life. He is the one who makes life worth living. He is the one who is worthy of our worship. We talk about wonder like Disney World and Disneyland. We talk about wonder like amusement parks and all. And there's certainly an amount of wonder that's there. I chuckled last night. I usually put out the lights, and we got a little net lights and got one of those house caster things, you know, shoot stuff up on the brick and all. And I just didn't do it. It was raining, and then it wasn't raining last night, so I was out of excuses. We had some small children there, and so we plugged it in, walked it out. The guys helped me put it up, and all of a sudden, man, we hit the switch, and it's shooting on the house, and the house is lit up, and it's stars and snowflakes, and it's red and it's green, And I look, and the kids are out there, and they're all going, really? And then they walk up to the light, and then they're, you know, burning their retinas with the laser shooting on them. Anyway, I'm sorry about that. Your son's blind now, but anyway. And they're there, and I look behind me. One of our neighbors is outside, and he's over there. He's just kind of looking, you know, he's over there with his coffee cup. And, $15, and everybody's like, man, that's really cool. And it's really neat. You know, we're shooting the dots everywhere and all this kind of thing. We're having a blast to throw a couple of the net lights over the bushes there, and everybody's happy. And I catch myself, and I'm just smiling like I'm 12 or 3 or 4 again, you know. And I look at these lights, and I understand electricity a little bit. I understand what's going on. I know that it's not real snow on my house, certainly not exploding red stars on my house, but I'm there. Isn't it amazing the things that give us wonder that aren't really terribly wonderful? And here's Christ. He's the wonderful. He's the counselor. Let's dig in here. If you're taking notes this morning, open up your, flip over to Exodus chapter 18. I want to build this thing, and I want you to see at the end. If you'll give me a little bit of runway here. He's the wonderful, and he's the counselor. Over 70 times in the scripture, particularly in the Old Testament here, this word is translated to give counsel, to deliberate, to purpose, to determine. In Exodus chapter 18, we see here, and this is Jethro seeing the burden of Moses. He says, hearken now unto my voice. Verse 19. And I will give you counsel. And God shall, what's that word there? Be with thee. How many of you, that sounds familiar? It sounds a lot like Emmanuel, doesn't it? God will be Emmanuel. God will be with thee. Moses, you're in over your head. Nod your head if you've ever been over your head. The job is too big for you. Nod your head if the job's ever been too big for you. Nod your head if you feel like you're about to be swallowed up by life and circumstances. Jethro, the father-in-law, looks at Moses, says, hey, this is too big for you. Listen to me. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto him. I will be with you. He gives him a plan. He gives him the wisdom that is there. The best wisdom he can have for him is that God would be with him. God would be with him. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 20. Rabshakeh taunts Hezekiah, and he says, and he's lying, I have counsel for thee and strength for the war. And he is the exact opposite of what's supposed to be going on. Psalm 33, verse 10. The Lord brings the counsel of the heathen to naught. He makes the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord, however, stands forever. The thought of his heart's to all generations. Say, I need something to build my life upon. Let me help you. Let me introduce you to the wonderful counselor. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20. Hear counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise in the last days, the last end. There are many things in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Somebody says, what's the point of my life? What's the purpose of life? What's the meaning of life? What's the reason for life? Let me help you. Let me introduce you to the wonderful counselor. To the wonderful counselor. Say, the meaning of life is drinking and drugs and partying and alcohol and having a good time and being with this person, being with that person, having all this stuff. No, the meaning of life is none of those things. The meaning of life is to be introduced to the wonderful counselor, to build your life on him. Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. There is education to be had at the hands of the unsaved and the lost. Nod your head if you've ever had someone who was not interested in your best interest to try and give you advice and to lead you astray. Nod your head if you've ever been there. He is the wonderful counselor. He never steers you wrong. Say, that's Old Testament, New Testament, Luke chapter 7, verse 30. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. So you can hear God's word. Look right here for a minute. You can hear God's word and reject it. You can sit in a church half your life, all your life, listen, go in one ear, one out, go in one ear, one out the other. How many of you know somebody that turned 17, 18, 19, and said, see ya. You can't make me go anymore. You can't make me do no work right up here. You can't make me. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to pay any more attention to you. And I am done. And they leave, and then they what? Man, they come back maybe a year or two later or 10 years later, and they come back what? With a bag of regret and a bag of things they wish they hadn't done because they rejected the counsel of the Lord. Now, help me say amen. I'm glad that God keeps working on people's hearts. I'm glad God pursues us when we don't pursue him. I am glad that God loves us when we're shaking our fist in rebellion and anger against him. Somebody say amen. Ain't that a wonderful truth this morning? But he is the wonderful counselor. The Pharisees and lawyers, the people who knew better, rejected him. That's one of the things, man, that grieves, man. We talked about it in our Bible study this morning. Man, I'm terrified of people who say, I know what the Bible says, comma, but. Man, that people terrify me. They terrify me. Or they say, I know what the Bible says, but I feel like this. Or I think this. Again, I'm glad for what you feel. I'm glad for what you think. But I'm interested in what the Bible says. Because that is the counsel that is from God himself. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. I feel like we're sleepy this morning. And I'll try and speak a little faster and a little louder there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That word wisdom there, same idea as counsel. It said the counsel of God. The world by counsel or wisdom didn't know God. I will not save myself. I will not figure out a new way to get to God. I will come by the way that God has set up for me. Let me help you, by the way, this morning. What's some other counsel? Jesus said he will have what? All men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So why do we do what we do? Why do we open every Sunday? Why do we do this? We do this to worship the risen King. And we do this as a church. And we proclaim his name because God's plan is for all men to be saved. For all men to be saved. The counsel, Lord, it stands forever. This character of counsel, this is the quality of the counsel. This is the idea here from the very first promise we see that God has done all these kind of things. All these kind of things. Let me give you a couple ideas here, and I'm going to give you application. I'm going to be done this morning because I really want you to feast and marinate on this. Go back to Isaiah if you're not there. Go back to Isaiah chapter 9. Look at verse 6 one more time for us. For unto us is born, a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. Name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. this wonderful counselor on whom the government would come, and all the plans and purposes are to come there. All of these things, this is the hope of the people of God. Let me help you. This is the hope of all people everywhere. This is it. There's a musical, it was done some years ago, Christmas musical, and it was entitled The Warrior is a Child. And this warrior that is prophesied about here, he is the hope of all men and all nations and all kingdoms. I'm worried sometimes at Christmas in particular, we lose this thing. We lose this concept of the Christ child being the focus and that he's God robed in flesh. I think we lose this. I lovingly remember a little story about the kids up on stage. Maybe when you're younger, maybe recently you've been to something where kids are wearing bathrobes and towels wrapped around their heads, and that was in the Christmas program. Anybody ever remember those or see those? Anybody, a few of you? How many of you would like to have seen one of those? Like I said, we didn't go to church, but for some reason we got drafted into doing that. I mean, we literally, I use that word like a millennial, but it's really literally true. We lived at the end. Our street ended with our house, but at the start of the two blocks up was a church. And so occasionally we went there, but we just didn't go. But we knew people there, and so it was Christmas time, and so they wanted us to come and be part of the Christmas program. I remember going the worst thing, and so of course my brother and I were guys, so we're shepherds or wise men. They were kind of interchangeable, and we got to hold sticks. And how many of you think giving 7, 8, 9-year-old boys sticks when they're bored is a bad idea? Anybody besides me? So we're there, and the lady who was doing it, she was about out of patience, so we're doing that. For some reason, we ended up with practice during the week, and so we get out of school and go to practice. And again, I don't know how much practice you got to have to stand there and guard everything. And it was a kind of a this and a that. But they had a plastic baby doll. And there was some girls in there, and everybody wanted to be Mary. I don't remember exactly. And the other girls were angels, and they would just mess around. There was a guy that we were with. I don't remember his name. I tried to think about it yesterday. Anyway, he just was bored. I don't know why he was there. His mom made him, I suppose. But anyway, he would put the baby doll under the straw. Nod your head if you're with me. He would hide it under a blanket. He'd rip off an arm. You ever seen a baby Jesus with only one arm? It's not a happy sight. And all these kind of things. If he'd had access to super glue, no telling what he'd have done. Bless his mean little heart. And we're there. And, of course, my brother and I are jousting with the sticks. And ladies telling us to stand still and all this. And the kid's over there. And he's done this. And I was just certain he was going to hide baby Jesus before the night of the performance. And that's all I can imagine is, Jesus is gone. Jesus is missing and all. And it's just a funny thing to me. But anyway, I'd say, why do you remember that story? Because I remember seeing baby Jesus with one arm. And that kind of traumatized me as about a 7 or 8 year old there. We laugh and we smile here. I think we miss it. I think if we're not careful, we miss it. Say, preacher, why would you talk about it? Just this one little section here. One little section. Let me offer it to you. You got your Bible open. If Jesus is the wonderful, the one who gives life meaning, counselor, the one who tells us what God wants us to know, then I suggest to you this central truth, that Jesus Christ is God revealed to mankind. Jesus Christ is God revealed to mankind. Jesus Christ is God revealed to mankind. See, I think that's good. I feel that's wonderful. Let me help you. I know. I can know because God has showed me who He is. I can know because God has told me who He is. I can know what God is like because I have seen it in Jesus Christ revealed to me in the Scriptures. I know that He loves children because He said, suffer, permit the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. I know that he had no quarter at all for the religious hypocrites because He said to them, you are full of dead men's bones. You are snakes and serpents who would devour up houses and houses, and then you would strain and seemingly add a gnat just to be able to tithe off a little piece of greenery. So make people understand You'd widen the phylacteries, the hem of your garment, so people think you're real spiritual. And you'd pray on a corner, and you'd pray in such flowery words, make everybody think you're spiritual. And you wouldn't even have time for someone who is a sinner. I know that about Jesus because it's been revealed to me in the Scriptures. I know about heaven and hell because Jesus revealed them to me in the Scriptures. I know that God loves me because I saw it in the Scriptures that He went to the cross and He died for my sins. I know that He rose again. He has all power of death, hell, and the grave because up from the grave He know that because God has communicated that to us in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the wonderful counselor. Say, my life lacks meaning and purpose and unity and etc. I introduce to you, I give you Christ. I give you Jesus Christ. He is the one prophesied of and fulfilled, who is the one who gives life meaning. What can I know about Him? We're going to be right on time. If He's the God revealed to mankind, then I can know about the person of God in Jesus Christ. I can know about His person. I know about His person. Everybody's different, so your hands will be different here. How many of you would rather deal with a website or computer if you're fixing a problem? Anybody you'd rather do that, you know, email and chat? How many of you would rather talk to somebody, get somebody, a live person on the phone, who speaks relatively good English, I'll qualify that, right? And get them to help you. Anybody like that? I mean, you'd rather have somebody, though, like come to you and help you with something, right? I mean, anybody ever asked somebody for something and they started off with it simple, which is code for you're stupid? I mean, or you're not real smart, anybody? I mean, anybody like me? Oh, it's just simple. Simple, I wouldn't have asked you, man. Please be kind. My ego's bruised enough because I asked for help, you know? Some of you are like, yeah, that's right, you preaching. Some of you are pointing at each other. And right now, we're having fun. I know about the person. God just didn't send a prophet. He just didn't send a preacher. He sent Himself. I know about the person of God because of Jesus Christ. He is the wonderful counselor. He's a communication of God to me. I think we miss it. I remember what it was now. I think about it. I can come to it. Doesn't matter. I blew it the other day. One of my kids just messed up, sinned against him. Nuclear blowout. Anybody in here ever done that? I was apologizing and all. If I get mad with my keyboard and stab it, it didn't really make a big deal. If I'm upset with my car and I smash my hands on the steering wheel, no big deal. If you hurt somebody when you sin against somebody, it just is different, isn't it? See, I think we miss this. When I sin, I don't just sin this way. I always sin this way. And I'm not sinning against the book of black and white print. I am sinning against the person of Christ. I am hurting God's heart. I have hurt God's heart. That's why I need God to forgive me. Because I sinned against Him. It's a person. I know that person. I know that person. Some of you, almost all of you. I don't know all of you as well as I know some of you. That's the way to say that. I just feel better when I'm around you. I just feel better when I'm around you. You smile, good morning. See you out and about. I just, because there's a relationship that's there. I met Dan Quayle years ago when he was vice president. That's as close as I think I know anybody in that kind of power. I've met some senators on a plane with a senator from North Carolina a time or two. I don't know these people. I've been proximity to them. That's all. Just life, I've been in proximity, that's all. But I know somebody that's unbelievably important, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only I know Him, He knows me, and He loves me. Jesus Christ is God revealed to mankind. I can know about Him as a person. as a personal. When I pray, I am not talking to the walls. I'm not trying to fill out a bunch of check boxes in my head. I am talking to somebody who is listening and who cares for me. Say, why should I care about this at Christmas time and the holiday season? Because he is a person and I can have a relationship with him. Secondly, I can know his purpose. He communicated what is important to him, what is important to him. I quoted it just a moment ago. The Bible says, 1 Timothy 2:4, he will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack or insufficient concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but his longsuffering does in that not when that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's will is for this to happen, for people to be saved. Why do we do what we do, man? Because God's purpose revealed to us is for people to be saved. Let me help you. If all we ever do is make this place a more comfortable world to live in and still die and go to hell, we have not fulfilled the purpose of God himself. One of the things in our Sunday night Bible study we've been going through is looking at this radical vision of the purpose of God. We're going to talk about that tonight. And what does it mean? And we expressed this with the men's group last week. You know, what can we do to talk to people about him? Because that's his purpose for coming. And this is revelation to us. It's his purpose, and it's his promise. I know something about his promise. I know something about his promise. Romans chapter 8, some of you know this verse really well. We know that what? All things are working together for good to them that love God, those who are called according to his purpose. I know my God's in control. Let me help you. I know my God will keep all his promises. You ever anybody disappoints you, made a promise, forgot about it, broke it? Lied to you? Anybody? You ever had somebody, you know, you just, and that's even worse to me. They, you know, it was just all out of sorts and you know, and trying to entangle it and all that. Let me help you. I've disappointed my Savior more times than I care to count. But my Savior has never disappointed me. He's never broken a promise to me. He's never lied to me. He's never overpromised. He's never said something he couldn't do. He's never obligated himself to something he could not fulfill. I know that he has communicated to me that he can handle anything and everything in life situation, and I can have great confidence in the promise of God. Why? Because he's the wonderful counselor. He has told me what God wanted me to know. He has revealed to me. I'm telling you what, that gives life a whole lot of balance and comfort, doesn't it? Anybody ever feel like life just zigzaggy, out of control, cuckoo? Anybody besides the preacher? You ever feel like you're adding to that confusion and that because of how you're living and because you're not adding too much to the occasion and the cause? You ever feel like? Let me help you. I'm not going to tell you how to feel. I'm going to tell you what to think and what to know, though. I can know that God is in control. I can know that God is working things together. I can know that God has never lied. I can know that. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the one to be adored, and the one who would reveal himself. All the way back to the first usage, Exodus chapter 18, Jethro to Moses. I want you to understand, I'll give you counsel. I'm going to give you the counsel that God wants to be with you. Emmanuel. I believe, I have confidence. We let our heads and hearts wrap around this idea that God came to communicate to us. What he would communicate to us is so radically different and so hopeful. It would change our lives. It would cause us to worship and adore him. I like being revved up. I enjoy it. I like my heart to feel, and I need that. But I think sometimes our heart feeds our head, and that's appropriate. Sometimes our head needs to feed our heart. Our head needs to remind us, man, he's wonderful. He's wonderful. He's worthy to be adored. He's worthy of my best. He showed me who God is. He expressed to me his purpose, my purpose. And I know his precious promises. And they're not a stated contract in some sterile piece of paper. They're the promise of a loving God to His children. And as a good father, He will never break His word, and He will always carry it. He's a wonderful counselor. Jesus Christ is God revealed to mankind. Let me help you. As you go into this season, as you go into this week, as you go in, do you have a relationship with Him? I didn't say, did you know, do you have a relationship with Him? Has He changed your life? Has He done what He said He would do? Come to seek and to save the lost. Has He come and saved you from your sins? Have you ever said, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I believe that You died for me, and I want You to be my Lord, and I confess my sins. Please save me. I put my faith and trust in You. Has there ever been that time, secondly? Do you need to lean on His promises today? Everybody in here brought a different life with them, different background. You need to lean on something today. People disappoint you, they hurt you, they smash your heart to bits. Jesus will not. Finally, you just need to cuddle up next to Him and say, I'm glad that I can have a relationship with You. He came to be the wonderful counselor. Would you pray with me right now?